right, this is Pure Decking Show number 528 for Thursday, July the 20th, 1969. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I hope to God that there's bourbon in hell. Tonight, we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Why do you think they call it hell? There's no sex, there's no bourbon, and there's no happiness. On Tuesdays, they let you smell lasagna so you know what you're missing.
Well, now I'm just depressed. What's up, are you?
I was going to say, they might have bourbon, but it doesn't do anything to you.
I like how bourbon tastes, so, I mean, might
well,
be okay.
I'm with Madman, then, if you enjoy the taste.
Yeah, they just won't let you have it.
Exactly.
They'll have it. They'll have the bottle there, just out of your reach.
I think hell runs on the Australian government rules. No, there's no fun allowed.
I'm pretty sure hell looks at the Australian government and goes, man, those guys are rough.
Yeah.
They're taking notes. Everyone's looking for improvement.
So when you see the literal demon showing up at your government officials' offices saying, yeah, I'm here to intern.
That's pretty much it. Consultancy fees. That's what we're getting. Australian government does a lot of consulting.
So... anyways, I guess we'll get into this first discussion here. So it's from the FederalReserve.gov. It's their official announcement. The Federal Reserve on Thursday announced that its new system for instant payments, the FedNow service, is live. Banks and credit unions of all sizes can sign up to use this tool to instantly transfer money for their customers any time of the day, any day of the year. Quote, the Federal Reserve built the FedNow service to help make everyday payments over the coming years faster and more convenient, unquote, said Federal Reserve Chair Jerome H. Powell. Quote, over time, as more banks choose to use this new tool, the benefits to individuals and businesses will include enabling a person to immediately receive a paycheck or a company to instantly access funds when an invoice is paid, unquote. To start, 35 early adopting banks and credit unions, as well as the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Bureau of the Fiscal Service, are ready with instant payment capabilities via the FedNow service. In addition, 16 service providers are ready to support payment processing for banks and credit unions. When fully available, instant payments will provide substantial benefits for customers and businesses, such as rapid access to funds, or when rapid access to funds is useful, or when just-in-time payments help manage cash flows and bank accounts. For example, individuals can instantly receive their paychecks and use them the same day, and small businesses can more efficiently manage cash flows without processing delays. Over the coming years, customers of banks and credit unions that sign up for the service should be able to use their financial institution's mobile app, website, and other interfaces to send instant payments quickly and securely. As an interbank payment system, the FedNow service operates alongside other long-standing Federal Reserve payment services such as FedWire and FedACH. The Fed Reserve is committed to working with more than 9,000 banks and credit unions across the country to support the widespread availability of this service for their customers over time. They've got a list here of the early adopters. So, just kind of looking through. Yeah, all the big names are in there. So, you know, you've got, well, let's see here. They're in alphabetical. So, yep, there's JP Morgan. There's U.S. There's Wells Fargo. Who else am I looking for? I was looking for
Bank of America.
I do not see Bank of Amigo.
That is bizarre to me.
And that is a very old, bad joke, if anybody remembers that one. But no, I don't see Bank of America. I see People's Bank. What's another big one to look for? First Internet Bank of Indiana? Really? Okay. I don't see... Yep, nope, don't see them. Okay. You know what I was looking for. I didn't see it on there. But anyways, I have my theories on this, but Madman, you know the finance system much better than I do.
I'm kind of surprised any bank signing up with this for one reason. And that is, it's cannibalizing an existing revenue stream.
Yeah, it's their own wire service.
Yeah, banks have, for at least since the 70s, have had the ability to instantaneously give you money. The whole, it's going to take 2 days to clear, that's been crap, especially with interbank services forever. So the whole reason they were delaying it is there was a service that you could pay to have instant cash, but that's what you had to do instant cash. And now they're supposedly foregoing that. And I'm surprised banks are willing to do it. I do know why the Fed's wanting them to do it. And that's so that they can now, the government can now track, well, anyone that's using their instant cash can track every transaction without a warrant.
And that's where I was going with it. Is that it was going to give them immediate access to who's moving money where. Now, since they've already got a couple of other FedWire and FedHCH that I think I was vaguely aware of but didn't really know about.
Oh, you may have, the ACH, you may have heard it more of the automated clearinghouse.
Yeah.
It's what processes paper checks.
Yeah. So, it's interesting that they're setting this up because it's like, I mean, I'm sure PayPal, Venmo, and Cash App are really pleased about this. Because it's like, isn't that their business?
Yeah. So. And they're going to be... I don't know if they're going to be completely taken out. It depends on how the banks adapt their mobile apps. If they let you actually accept a debit card payment from another bank, like just give you the little sliding square that Square gives you. That's where I see most Venmo and stuff going from, is
you know
merchants
what's in those,
processing their own payments.
You know what's in those little sliding squares, don't you?
A cassette reader?
Yeah, it's a cassette reader. Like it's a cheap one, too. They were literally repurposing old cassette decks for, you know, the longest time with those. I think they've actually had to start making magnet heads again because they used them up.
Eh. Good use of the technology. The article, right? Kudos.
But
this is another push towards the Fed coin.
That's exactly what I thought was thinking too, Madman. So.
And the big downside to that is once they get that pushed through, we're going to go cashless. As soon as the Fed coin exists, we're cashless.
Maybe not in law, but in all.
Oh no, I see them doing it in law. I think they're going to do the same thing we did in the '60s when we moved off the gold standard. Is they're going to outlaw gold currency. You can keep it as a collectible, but you can't spend it. And then they're going to round up as much of it as they can and destroy it. And we're just going to go the cashless society. The reason for that is not entirely nefarious. It's to kill the gray economy and increase tax revenue. Anyone doesn't know, one of the definitions of gray economy is you're doing stuff that's legal, but kind of off the books to avoid tax purposes. A lot of tradesmen, they do something like that. Not that I'm narking on tradesmen. Don't break my knees. And I'll pay cash for anyone to work on my house, and I will look the other way. Same thing with my car.
Well, are you? You've been quiet. Are you going to break Madman's knees?
No. I thought I'd take a. I knew this was coming. I just didn't bother caring too much. I figure, why bother getting worked up over something I can't stop? Because you know we've always known it was coming, and I just sort of checking it against CBDCs. And the amount of articles I see saying that Fed now has nothing to do with digital coins, stop panicking, you fucking idiots, tells me that it has everything to do with digital coins.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm on page 5 of Google, and every article is like, "No, no, it's a conspiracy theory. How dare you?"
It's not that it's not that it's directly for digital currency or going cashless. It's step one.
Yeah, yeah, it's
yeah. It's here's how you'll process the Fed coin.
Yep. So I'm not disagreeing with anything that's been said. I think it's all correct. I've been quiet because I don't know that much about it. Well, but,
and that's why I didn't say anything until after Madman, because I was wanting to see, because that's the first thing I thought is they're wanting to track all transactions, and they're wanting to preface for going for the Fed coin. And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't completely nuts, because Madman follows the finance industry much more closely than I do.
Well, as Larry Fink says, the time for the carrot is over. Are we going to be using more stick now?
No, this is a very carrot operation. Right now, if I want to send money instantaneously to a family member, let's say I have a brother in, I don't know, California, he's been mugged, has all his cash taken. If I want to send him money and him get it instantaneously, thanks to the stupid deposit rules they've put into place, I have to do something like Western Union, and they're going to charge me around $10 for every $100 I send them. With this Fed transaction they're pushing, if his bank's on this list and my bank's on this list, I send him money for free. Now, prior to them cracking down on deposits, I would have just walked into my brother's bank and deposited a couple $100 in his checking account. Well, in this instance, that might not work because said he was mugged and he probably doesn't have his debit card. So, yeah, they're getting around the whole wire transaction fee. So this is, yeah, Western Union's going to go out of business with this. That was the other one that is big. I can't remember them. I used to process the payments.
MoneyGram is the one you're thinking of.
MoneyGram.
That you think Western Union is going to go out of business tells me that Western Union are all in this shit. They've got to be getting their cut. There's no way that an organization like Western Union is going to go down without a fight.
Well, Western Union's had to retool their business so many times. I mean, maybe they'll bring telegraph wires back. I doubt it, but they could. No, Western Union will figure out something else.
They just don't seem to be a company that I would think that wouldn't get their cut coming and going.
Well, they're not nearly as big as they used to be.
They're pretty big with illegal immigrants and stuff sending money back.
Oh, absolutely.
No questions asked.
And if you look, at least in my area, transaction costs for sending money to Mexico is dirt effing cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you could send like $1,000 for $1.75. I mean, it's not quite that bad, but it's close enough.
Well, the other thing,
sending it state to state's ungodly expensive.
And see, the other thing that we haven't talked about yet is, if the Fed is running the back end wires so that, you know, they're controlling you sending money between accounts, okay, what happens when they blackball an account or a country? You know, if they say, oh, well, we see all this money flowing to Mexico, we're going to assume that's drug money and not anything legit. We're just going to block it.
It kind of depends on what infrastructure is left. Because we're talking like this is a new thing. A huge chunk of processing was already going through the Fed. Anyone remember a couple years ago when the U.S. Pretty much used the dollar to try to tank Russia's economy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work.
They were using the Fed to stop transactions in dollars, is how they were going through that
in so those countries. Yeah, so they just switched the yuan.
They did, and as far as the crap it not hurting them, it hurt Russia big time. It did also push them towards China. And it scared the shit out of the rest of the world. And they're all looking, how do we get off the dollar? But there's...
Well,
our
was
boat
floated.
Is sinking slower than other boats. So they're not jumping as much.
Remember, Brix was floated just after the crash of 08. And then it just sort of disappeared. Now it's back on the market again. We'll see where that goes.
So they could have already massively affected wire transactions. This is, if it catches on, they can completely kill all of them. Because, like I said, it depends on what all still exists. If Visa, MasterCard, and Western Union stay afloat, then they'll be able to do end runs around the Fed. So the question is, how long are they going to stay afloat, especially with the Fed cutting into their business model? Because all of those companies charge for transactions. If the Fed's going to say it's free...
I don't know.
They're going to stay up?
Like I said, this is kind of a step one. So,
if it's free, you're the product.
Well, there's that too. So I don't know. I don't know where this ultimately goes. I have my suspicions. We've been talking about them. But
it goes towards central digital currencies. And as Madman says, the possible destruction of the gray economy for those who aren't smart enough to keep it going. Like, don't think the gray economy has been sitting around on its ass not watching this happen. It's watching very closely at central digital currencies and monitoring.
Well, and they would be very happy with the 80-20 rule if it came to shutting those kinds of economies down. It's like, oh, if we got most of them, except the people who are really smart who we weren't going to catch anyways.
Well, the only way that they'll stop it is if they can keep cash in existence in their area.
Yeah, there's a few other ways too.
Oh, there's barter.
Bitcoin.
Commodity-based trading.
Yeah, barter.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of that. It's commodity-based trading is great. Within the group, but it's hard if you're trying to pay a house off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The bank doesn't like taking 12 eggs a week in payment.
Or the whole electrician will happily take the services of a plumber and the plumber take the services of an electrician and both of their houses are better for it.
Yeah.
That doesn't... convert well to making your mortgage payment or buying groceries.
No, it doesn't. But if you're squeezed in a minor cash, then it can definitely go a long way for a monthly bills. Follow.
Oh, Morps may have a point with the hello Bitcoin in the gray economy. That could be a push for Bitcoin use. You'd still have one problem of moving it into the digital currency for Bitcoin. I don't know. I guess people could set up an exchange.
As long as the exchanges exist, you can still use them. The thing is, the exchanges, though, suddenly get subject to all the commodities trading laws, and those can be a bear. So I was kind of half-joking when I said Bitcoin, though, because they've been trying to get a alternative economy going with Bitcoin for how many years now?
Look at it. Someone who's in the gray economy there, Bitcoin doesn't even rate a fucking mention. Because most of the people dealing in the gray economy are over the age of 30.
Yeah. Most of the people I know, they deal cash or swap for service.
Yeah.
I'll come work on your hot tub and get it running if you can paint my kid's bedroom type shit.
Yeah. Things like that. It's
for
definitely a problem.
X amount of weed, I will tune up your car.
Well, the problem with the weed example is that that one degenerates.
Mm-hmm.
And to the old crack cocaine joke.
But that's the gray to dark gray economy.
So.
Yeah, but you dance around in the dark gray economy at your own peril because the people there aren't exactly legit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're also not playing around, so you don't want...
And a gray economy also is a, I'd say, a very homogenous economy.
So
it's, I don't know about how homogenous, because people I know, they're attached.
On trust.
Yeah, it is based on trust, but it's, as far as skill sets, it's very varied. It's
well, maybe I'm just
local.
Speaking from my feelings with it, that there's not many people outside of people like myself that are doing it. You know what I mean? No, there's no young people. There's no ethnic minorities or anything like that, because from what I understand, the Indian fucking gray economy is even worse than the one we're running.
It's also partially because a lot of people, younger people, aren't even exposed to it. They don't even really know that it's a thing because they don't have a Facebook ad.
Well, I don't think they even know it's a thing because they don't know what it was like to live prosperously. No, I got that wrong.
Prosperously, but
that's the one.
They also,
you know, they've always been born in times of hardness. Like, it's always been shit.
I don't know. I know people that will set up a website in exchange for you working on a transmission.
Well, that's a shit deal.
So, just something else to keep an eye on, I guess. You guys want to do the next
what's
one?
What's next up on the list?
Next one up is from TechSpot. On August the 3rd, 2022, a Virginia family reported their 15-year-old daughter missing. Local news, ABC 15, publicized the court documents related to the case, opting not to identify the child to ensure her privacy. Giving the family's description of their daughter as a homebody, authorities immediately began treating the situation as potentially malicious rather than a common runaway. Despite concerted efforts of authorities and countless citizens, initial searches yielded no clues about the child's whereabouts. Unknown to the search teams, she was already over 2,000 miles away in an Arizona apartment, abducted by 28-year-old Ethan Roberts. The girl had been chatting online with Roberts, who manipulated her into leaving home with him. Unfortunately, neither the girl's parents nor the authorities had any knowledge of the chats. With no leads found throughout Virginia, the search efforts hit a dead end until one of the abducted child's friends contacted authorities with an unexpected clue. The girl's Nintendo Switch console had unexpectedly appeared online. Roberts had allowed the child to bring along her Nintendo Switch, which went unnoticed by all involved. At the apartment, Roberts let her connect the Switch to the Wi-Fi so she could watch YouTube and download a game. However, unbeknownst to Roberts, launching a Switch game online alerts any logged-in friends, a feature by Nintendo to foster gameplay among friends. Because of this, authorities called on the FBI, hoping to track the Nintendo Switch. On August 14, 2022, after 11 terrifying days for the child, the FBI located the apartment complex, arrested Roberts, and safely rescued the abducted child. Former Arizona Department of Public Safety Director Frank Misteed commented in the case, "Everything's connected to Wi-Fi or LTE, a cell phone, an iPad, a watch, whatever it is, you can use those things to locate people. While some may be wary of the omnipresence of electronic devices tracking our every move, it's heartening to see an instance where it was employed for..." Okay, that's just the opinion of the author. Right. Okay. Apparently Roberts agreed to a plea deal and received a 30-year prison sentence for his various crimes. So, you know, a lot of people were pressing this story around like, oh, look, they could use the Switch to track you. And that's true. They can. But they had to go to the FBI and get a warrant, obviously, to do it. But the key here is that one of the girl's friends saw her come online after finding, you know, after everyone had reported her missing. Because it's not like they just said, okay, let's sweep up all the kids' devices and see where they show up. Although that'll probably be where it eventually goes. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's a great story and a well use of technology. Is, you know, the Switch is online.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl activated the alert a friend feature, because I do believe you can turn that off.
Yeah, you can.
So, I don't see anything malicious that the hardware was doing, and it led the authorities to finding and saving a little kid.
And again, it was because one of her friends said, hey, look, her Switch is online.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the part I think is cool, is because it wasn't, you know, the authorities diving in from the back end. It was volunteered by somebody. I guess if I'm not explaining that well. What do you think, are you?
Yeah, no, interesting story. Be a lock lucky she had a switched on friend. But is it, I don't know, man, I'm just more blown away by the incompetency of the kidnapper. Like, one hand, he's pretty clever getting away that fast and leaving little to no fucking trace. It's the details, man. When you're committing a crime, it's the details. You got to work on those.
He was thinking it's a Nintendo. He wasn't thinking it's a social media device. It's a mindset a lot of people are going to have trouble with.
He was thinking, good, it'll distract the kid for a bit while I'm doing whatever the hell it is I need to do.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an all-around weird story. Like, the cops didn't go to the computer straight away to check fucking IMs and shit like that. You know what I mean?
They probably checked the computer, but didn't think to ask the parents, is a console missing? Because the parents aren't thinking, let's report theft. They're thinking, let's find our kid.
Well, they probably wouldn't have even noticed, because how many kids take their consoles with them, especially when they are like a Switch?
What was the kid groomed over the console or over the PC?
It didn't say. It just said chatting online.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't see. Then again, I'm not a kid. You know, do you use your fucking Nintendo Switch to chat?
You can. I have a couple of Switches. You can. I mean,
I think it's mostly chatting in games, but I do know people have been fished out of World of Warcraft, so.
I mean, the interface for doing it is terrible compared to, you know, a keyboard, but, you know.
Oh, do you not have the voice option on yours?
On a Switch?
Isn't there a headset? I think there's a headset.
You know, I don't use it enough to know. I just remember seeing the option. I usually turn the voice chat on these things off because I don't feel like you're listening to 12-year-olds tell me about, you know, their sexual escapades with various family members.
Yeah, I bet you never knew how popular your mother was until you start talking to 12-year-olds.
Well.
Terrible person. I'm only slightly sorry.
No, you're not. Don't lie.
Oh, no, I'm not sorry that I offended you. I just know your mother's a wonderful woman. I'm kind of sorry about that. Not that she's wonderful, that I said something that could be, you know.
You're making it worse, Madman. We know
completely
what you're
saying. Fine.
Madman, dig up. Dig up.
You're almost to China. Ask if you can give me egg rolls.
And I just went through a few other stories. It doesn't say where I wish she was groomed over PC or.
Well, they're probably being real light with the details because, you know, she's a minor.
Oh, yeah. I think it was her smartphone.
Well, that's the most
likely. It just seems bizarre that the cops wouldn't go through the digital devices looking for clues. I don't know, just weird story all around, I suppose. Glad the kid's okay. Hope she didn't get diddled before they got there.
I think they said it was only 11 days, so.
Yeah, it was rough 11 days.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I hope nothing bad happened. Based on the way the article went, they didn't mention anything like that. So they just said that she was scared. So I'm kind of hoping that nothing bad, particularly bad, happened.
Yeah, they were willing to plead out, so I don't think anything bad happened.
But either way, he's got 30 years to fucking die in prison. Somebody will get him.
If something bad did happen, I hope someone disembowels him with a garden pal or a garden trowel. But you know,
that's my hope. And let's face it, you don't get much justice out here, but inside prison, they have a very good sense of what is right and wrong.
So
I almost want to argue with you on that, because then they wouldn't be in prison. But I know where we're going with this, and I do condone prison justice when it comes to those people.
I just mostly want to get away from that subject because it makes me deeply uncomfortable. So
exactly.
Next story.
The next story is from Ars Technica. Millions of U.S. military emails have been misdirected to mail through a typo leak.
I love this.
Or to Mali through a typo leak that has exposed highly sensitive information, including diplomatic documents, tax returns, passwords, and the travel details of top officers. Despite repeated warnings over a decade, a steady flow of email traffic continues to go to the .ml domain, the country identifier of Mali, as a result of people mistyping .mil, the suffix to all U.S. military email addresses. The problem was first identified almost a decade ago by Johannes Zuber, a Dutch internet entrepreneur who had a contract to manage Mali's country domain. Zuber had, I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong, had been collecting misdirected emails since January in an effort to persuade the U.S. to take the issue seriously. He holds close to 117,000 misdirected messages. Almost 1,000 arrived on Wednesday alone. In a letter he sent to the U.S. in early July, Zuber wrote, quote, "The risk is real and could be exploited by adversaries of the U.S., unquote. Control of the ML domain will revert on Monday from Zuber to Mali's government, which is closely allied with Russia. When Zuber's 10-year management contract expires, Malian authorities will be able to gather misdirected emails. The Malian government did not respond to our request for comment." Gee, you don't say. Zuber, managing director of the Amsterdam-based Mali Dili, has approached U.S. officials repeatedly, including through a defense attaché in Mali, a senior advisor to the U.S. National Cybersecurity Service, and even the White House officials. Much of the email flow is spam, and none is marked as classified, but some messages contain highly sensitive data on U.S. military personnel, contractors, and their families. The contents include x-rays and medical data, identity document information, crew lists for ships, staff lists at bases, maps of installations, photos of bases, naval inspection reports, contracts, criminal complaints against personnel, internal investigations into bullying. Wait, we're still worried about bullying and the... You're in the military. Shoot them back. What the fuck? Official travel itineraries, bookings, tax and financial records. Mike Rogers, a retired American admiral who used to run the National Security Agency and the U.S. Army Cyber Command, said, quote, "If you have this kind of sustained access, you can generate intelligence even just from unclassified information," unquote. "This is not uncommon," he added. "It's not out of the norm for people to make mistakes, but the question is the scale, the duration, and the sensitivity of the information," unquote. One misdirected email this year included the travel plans for General James McConville, the chief of staff of the U.S. Army, and his delegation for a then forthcoming visit to Indonesia in May. The email included a full list of room numbers, the itinerary for McConville and 20 others, as well as details of the collection of McConville's room key at the Grand Hyatt Jakarta, where he received a VIP upgrade to a grand suite. Rogers warned the transfer of control to Mali posed a significant problem. Quote, "It's one thing when you are dealing with a domain administrator who is trying, even unsuccessfully, to articulate the concern," unquote, said Rogers. Quote, "It's another when it's a foreign government that sees it as an advantage they can use." So it goes on basically saying the military's kind of acknowledged it, but they're not sure. You know, they're saying, sensitive stuff isn't going there. They're saying a lot of the emails from private contractors working with the military. So okay. Here's the thing. This is a solvable problem because I've solved this problem in corporate email systems before. If you have a contract with military, or you have any reason to be routinely emailing the military, and you have no reason whatsoever to ever email a .ml domain, go create a mail flow rule. Anything going to *.ml, block it. Bounce it back to the sender saying you're not allowed to email the .ml domain. Maybe check and see if it was supposed to be the .mil domain. This is solvable with a simple policy change. Now, granted, it's the military, so you're talking about thousands of systems and hundreds of thousands of policies that probably need to be updated. But it's been going on for a decade. And they're emailing out the kind of shit you would use to do
assassinations.
Yeah.
Emailing the type of stuff that you would use to assassinate a general in his upgraded suite.
I'm more just investigation. I'm still on the investigations of bullying. In the military, bullying.
It's an HR complaint.
Shoot
them. The military is still a business.
If you all have guns, shoot them back. What do you mean bullying in the military? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, oh, Fred called my mom fat? Fine, I'm shooting off Fred's left foot. It might be escalation, but nobody's going to bully you again after that. Okay, maybe that is probably out of line. But, holy fuck, guys. Set a fucking Outlook rule. It's not that hard.
And what's amazing is this has been going on for 10 years. I can understand possibly a contractor because they may have reason to email Molly. This is stuff going from Fort Hood to Fort Knox. Internal military. It's being sent over there.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a fucking typo. I get it. But, okay, you have a European contractor who's been running the .ml domain, and their contract's up, and Molly's going to get it back. Molly, if they have close ties, if they're siding with Russia in the forthcoming World War III that for some reason they're trying to make happen,
it doesn't even matter if they're siding with Russia. They're a foreign country. They would be retarded if they didn't look at every email mistakenly sent to them by the United States.
Right?
It's in their best interest to know what our military plans are. Even if we never plan to do anything to them. If we want to be their best friend. If we're arranging to have all of our generals suck the cock of whoever's in charge of Mali. It's still in their best interest to spy on us. And they should be spying on us.
I don't know that the generals doing that would be all that much of an incentive. I've seen those people. They're not very attractive.
Okay, some of the chick recruits that we've got. And I'm talking chick 1.0, not chick 2.0.
The military looks very, very alphabet friendly these days. It's used to be don't ask, don't tell. Now it's scream it from the fucking rooftop.
Little bit of glow in the dark, maybe not. Maybe they're not glowing in the dark, but the stains are on the uniform. Anyways,
yeah.
It's like this. That's an easy one to fix, guys. Come on, really?
And how many mainstream media sources have you heard talk about this?
Zero.
I heard about it Wednesday.
Do we count?
No.
Yes, I'll go with sure, why not?
No, because this is the first I heard of it when I found the article. So
there's so much shit I read online that didn't even make it to mainstream. Or if it does make it to mainstream, it's been completely rewritten, be told a different narrative or light.
Well, this is important, and I think every U.S. citizen should know it. I mean, we need to complain and have our military fix it stupid.
Well, again, that's the frustrating part. Is like, this one's not a hard one to fix. It's really not. So, Anyway. Well,
there's not really a lot to talk about on this one other than our military is retarded. What do we got next?
Well, in addition to the military being retarded, how about Microsoft being retarded and getting the military hacked?
Getting the military hacked or getting themselves hacked?
Themselves and several government agencies.
Oh, rock on, Microsoft.
So this is from TechCrunch. The article's all over the place, but I liked the TechCrunch write-up. Microsoft still doesn't know, or doesn't want to share, how China-backed hackers stole a key that allowed them to stealthily break into dozens of email inboxes, including those belonging to several federal government agencies. In a blog post on Friday, Microsoft said it was a matter of, quote, ongoing investigation, unquote, how the hackers obtained a Microsoft signing key that was abused to forge authentication tokens that allowed the hackers to access inboxes as if they were the rightful owners. Reports, so, I have probably explained keychain and key signing in regards to certificates, public-private certificates before, but the short version, actually, there's a really good way to see it. If you go on any website that's using HTTPS, and that's most of them these days, you can go to look at the certificate. You can go hit more information, hit view certificate. And you will see, one, you'll see all the alternative names for that certificate is used for. And sometimes it's really funny when you see some of the names that are used. And it's often a fun way of figuring out who actually owns certain websites is you look at their certificate and see, oh, look, the same certificate that we're using for TechCrunch is also the certificate that's used for AOL.com. But you also can see the keychain. You can see the signing certificates, authority info, and you can actually follow the certificate chain back up. In this case, it's from DigiKey, looking at this website. But when you're dealing with something like the email system for Office 360, I guess it's Microsoft 365 now. So basically, somebody got their hands on the private key of one of the signing certificates. So they were able to create their own certificates that were viewed as valid, and that was good enough to get them into these mailboxes. So, yeah, that's a problem. obtained a Microsoft signing key that was abused to forge authentication tokens that allowed hackers to access the inboxes as though they were the rightful owners. Reports say the target include the U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, U.S. State Department officials, and other organizations not yet publicly revealed. Microsoft disclosed the incident last Tuesday, attributing the month-long activity to a newly discovered espionage group it calls Storm 0558, which it believes has a strong nexus to China. U.S. cybersecurity agency CISA said the hacks, which began in mid-May, included a small number of government accounts said to be in the single digits, and that the hackers exfiltrated some unclassified email data. While the U.S. government has not publicly attributed the hacks, China's top foreign ministry spokesperson denied the allegations on Wednesday. Where China has used previously unknown vulnerabilities to individually hack into Microsoft-powered email servers to steal corporate data, this hacking group instead went directly to the source by targeting new and undisclosed vulnerabilities in Microsoft's cloud. In its blog post, Microsoft said the hackers acquired one of its consumer signing keys, or MSA key, which the company used to secure consumer email accounts, like for accessing Outlook.com. Microsoft said it initially thought the hackers were forging authentication tokens using an acquired enterprise signing key, which are used to store secure corporate and enterprise email accounts. But Microsoft found the hackers were using that consumer MSA key to forge tokens that allowed them to break into enterprise inboxes. Microsoft said this was because of a validation error in Microsoft code. I had a nickel for every one of those. Microsoft said it has blocked, quote, all actor activity, unquote, related to the incident, suggesting that the incident is over and the hackers lost access. Okay. Having, quote, blocked all actor activity, unquote, that means they blocked the IP addresses. They've dropped into the firewall rules and they blocked the IP addresses. these guys got.
So a VPN can get around that fix.
Well, yeah, but they're probably going to try to do it in a way that's quiet. The other thing is now that they know what key was compromised, they can invalidate it and issue new keys. Depending on the complexity of the system, that might take a minute. So, and since they don't know how they got the key in the first place, I suspect this is not over. So I think you're going to see, I think we're going to see a redux of this where they've gotten back into it, gotten a new key, and started doing it again. So, though it's unclear how Microsoft lost control of its own keys, the company said it's hardened the key issuance systems, presumably to prevent hackers from churning out another digital skeleton key. The hackers made one key mistake. By using the same key to raid several inboxes, Microsoft said this allowed investigators to, quote, see all actor access requests, which followed this pattern across both our enterprise and consumer systems, unquote. To wit, Microsoft knows who was compromised and said it has notified those affected. With the immediate threat thought to be over, Microsoft now faces scrutiny for its handling of the incident, thought to be the biggest breach of unclassified government data since the Russian espionage campaign that hacked SolarWinds in 2020. So it goes on talking about it, but I mean that's the brunt of it. So. And, of course, all of Microsoft blog posts are very much written by the PR department, which, of course, they were. Any corporation's going to do that. But, you know, it's very much a, you know, working in the consumer's best interest and all that other kind of language. So, but, yeah. That this is the downside of consolidating a lot of internet infrastructure into a handful of companies is Microsoft gets popped, and it's not just, you know, internal stuff at Microsoft or a handful of company, you know, or like one company at Microsoft, because they potentially could have used this to have gotten into any number of things through, well, Office 365, right? I'm never going to get used to calling it Microsoft 365. same thing if, like, Amazon got popped at a very low level, right? You know, think of all the stuff in AWS people could get to if they got into Amazon's infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, with Microsoft and Google running most of the email these days, and Amazon and Google running most of the websites, and then you've got, you know what, Cloudflare and Akamai fronting in most of the traffic, and a handful of cloud providers providing a lot of the back-end services. Yeah, honestly, if you can get into these companies, I'd say the internet is more fragile than it's ever been.
Yeah,
because
over-specialized, see.
Now, I use the word fragile, not vulnerable. Because I don't know how vulnerable all these networks are. I mean, obviously, I have my thoughts. Things aren't where they were in the 90s. But, you know, it's very much you knock out one big player and you're taking out large.
And they're
swaths.
Aware of it. The people that are running the show are aware of it. And I am sure they're going to take advantage of it when it does happen. This is why we've got to have real-time fucking login.
Well, I mean, it also makes these companies absurd amounts of money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as an example, I picked the companies that I'm using for a lot of the G15 infrastructure rather carefully. I say that. Some of the web hosting is not the greatest. it works. But it's not. This is partially because of when I built it, though, right? You know, if I was to rebuild it all today from scratch, yeah, I'd probably be putting it in AWS and putting it behind Cloudflare too. Because that's, well, partially because that's what I know how to do from doing it at work, and that's partially because, I mean, as obnoxious as it is to buy into all that, it is the right way to do it, and it is going to give you the most resilient website. And would have been a hell of a lot easier than what I did, good God, 15 years ago when we built some of this stuff. Have we really been doing that this long?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, we've been going a long time. Long time.
Shouldn't we have had like some kind of major
satellite.
Internet? What'd you say, Madman?
All off of a joke satellite.
Yeah. I was going to say, shouldn't we have had some kind of major internet drama falling out by now or something like that? Isn't that how that works?
Your money. Mm. Money, man.
Well, that's the key. We didn't make money.
That's the key of maintaining long friendships. Keep money the fuck out of it.
Yep. So, you guys have any thoughts on that one?
No, I do agree with you. The internet is very fucking fragile right now.
Wondering how, I mean, I know it would just be get more businesses into this, but what's the overhead on being Amazon Web Servers? Because that's
huge.
Where we're vulnerable.
It's fucking huge, man. So the investment is because you have to build out data centers, right? Now, yeah. There are data centers. You can contract other data centers besides Amazon. And they are around. It's not like you can't find them. But usually you don't see signs for them. You don't see the buildings there because they don't want to advertise the buildings because, okay, if you know...
That's where you go break into shit.
Well, if you're...
Dude, there's no windows on these things. That's how you know what building it is.
Well, not for the part with the servers in it, at least. The offices usually have some windows, but usually they won't have a very big anything advertising what the company is.
Just looks like a giant warehouse.
Or an office park. A lot of them look like office parks. But, it's because of the movie Fight Club, okay? Nobody wants to advertise where their data center is because of Fight Club.
Great book.
So, anyways. But that's what they're worried about is somebody deciding, oh, well, that company fucked me over. I'm going to go, because if you get into the data center and fuck up their servers, I mean, you might put them out of business. But this day and age... There's not much reason to buy hardware and build a data center. Now, it's still more cost effective in large part compared to a cloud service in aggregate. But you don't, the cloud service can scale so much faster. Sorry, are you? Go ahead. I didn't mean to.
No, I was just curious. Do you prefer the Western version of Fight Club or the Chinese version?
I guess I'm not familiar with the Chinese version.
I'll tell you about it later.
All right. So I was just referring to them blowing up the data center at the end of it to reset everybody's, credit debt.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in.
It doesn't happen in the book. It happens in the movie.
It doesn't happen in the Chinese version.
Okay. So, anyways, but you can find them. They're around, but I mean, pretty much, if you wanted to spin up a new Amazon AWS services tomorrow, a lot of the software they're running on is open source, so that's actually the easy part. The hard part is you've got to get data centers and build them out and build them out in places where they're useful and get proper connectivity to them. So that's traditional infrastructure. That's building buildings and running, running telecom lines. And then the, absurd cooling that data centers need. So, multi-million dollar investment just to get started. So, anyways. Next article?
Yeah, except one more thought. I think on critical businesses, it should almost be a law that we force them to have their own infrastructure. Because if you could, take out one Amazon rack and get four banks...
Well, if that's part of the nice thing about Amazon, if you're using it correctly. So if you're setting up your cloud service correctly, you can take out those four racks, and the businesses will probably never even know. Because everything in these cloud services is heavily virtualized, right? So the storage is not on the same machines that are actually doing the compute. The storage usually has multiple redundancies in different geographic locations. So, in fact, you can see it in AWS. You can, when you're setting up infrastructure in the control panel, you select a region. You'll say North America, West America. It's East and West, but for some reason, I was thinking it started with N. But yeah, you've got East and West regions for United States. I think they've added a Midwest. Then you'll see Asia, you'll see a couple of different European regions. And that's not one data center. That's several data centers in a region. But what in Amazon will tell you in their own documentation, and you know, Azure and Google do it too. I haven't played with those as much, so I'm not as familiar with the interface. But they'll tell you if you want 100% uptime, you need to build out in a couple of different regions, and then set up the load balancer such that if one of the regions goes down, you just point to another region. And if you've scripted everything, you can actually have the cloud service go, oh, I'm getting hard, let me spin up more copies of your servers to handle the load. And that's the benefit of the cloud systems, so they can scale up and down with usage. But the downside is that usage typically costs more than if you've purchased hardware and racked it. You know what I mean? If I buy a server and I go run it for 10 years, okay, that's a bit long, and I run it for 5 years in a data center, I'm paying power and connectivity, but the server's paid for, and you can amortize that out over time. And then the runtime on that is basically whatever you do with it. Whereas in Amazon, you're paying for every bit in and out. You're paying for compute time. You're paying for storage. You're paying for access. So, they've got a free tier, but they nickel and dime you to death. One company I worked for, they were making a big push to try to get out of the data center and get into Amazon. And the guy was structuring his Amazon bill to hide from upper management how much money he was spending, because they could have rebuilt the data center 3 times over for what they spent in Amazon bills that year. It's nuts. But also that's because they didn't go in and optimize their applications to run in the cloud. They were trying to forklift a bunch of Java 6 applications, big, heavy monolith applications, and run them in AWS as though it's VMware, and that's not doing it correctly. That's doing it expensively. So, anyways, it was stupid. I don't know. Did I beat the dead horse there for you, Madman?
It was nice and dead. Okay. I like it tenderized. We're going to do horse tartare for dinner tomorrow.
Ah.
Who wants to come over?
Gross.
All right.
Not much Mongol in your blood?
Next article is from Android Police. Reddit is nuking everyone's pre-2023 chats and messages. We'll read it. Reddit has been in the news for all the wrong reasons lately. It caught the public attention with several subreddits taking part in a site-wide protest going dark in an attempt to overturn Reddit's new paid API model. More recently, the platform that has curated all these wonderful communities over the years killed the award system through which people paid Reddit real money to appreciate other Redditors in the form of mostly pointless internet points. Now the platform has dealt itself another devastating blow, deleting messages and live chats older than January 1, 2023. If you frequent Reddit, you may have noticed the ongoing transition in chat systems from what Reddit calls legacy chat to just chat. Mashable reports that several people are distraught to learn that they lost their message histories going back several years. Particularly saddening stories, including one Redditor losing memorable first chats with their now wife. Another user lamented at the inability to contact netizens they wanted to stay in touch with and losing several messages they had preserved on Reddit for future reference. So apparently they did publish it in June, stating that they're only going to do it. It's just nobody seemed to have noticed that they put it there. Because it was published in a change log. So,
and you don't use someone else's stuff to archive your things because you don't control it.
Pretty much.
Put the words out of my mouth, Madman.
But these, I mean, they effectively posted the change in the bottom of the filing cabinet in the basement of the courthouse. And then they were surprised that people didn't know about it.
Yeah, that is a shit move. They should have made that big bold on the front page of Reddit.
Yeah, so you had a shot at going in and copying out the stuff you cared about? So, and yes, that was
good news. In 3 years, they can't go back and cancel you for anything you said.
Oh, good. But, I mean, that's literally what they did at the beginning of Hitchhiker's Guide before they tore the guy's house down. So, I mean, it's just like, I don't know what group of angry flying monkeys are running Reddit these days, but they really need to figure this shit out. So, anyways, last article, which, considering we're at time and I don't have a dojo tonight anyways, so this is just a quick mention. Kevin Mitnick died. So,
oh, Super Hacker's dead.
Yep. For anybody who doesn't remember the whole Free Kevin thing, we'll just read the beginning of this here. Famed hacker Kevin Mitnick, who earned a spot on the FBI's most wanted list, served 5 years in prison, and then became a security consultant and author thereafter, with many other adventures along the way, is dead at 59. He had pancreatic cancer. So, he had just... They've got a post here from him from, like, April, showing off this insane GPU cracking rig that had 24 4090s in it. It's like, holy crap, dude. But I met him once at a security conference years ago. Nice guy. I mean, of course, any accomplished, you know, social engineer will present themselves as a nice guy. So, whatever. But, yeah.
He's the king of social engineering. He present any way he fucking wants.
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But seemed like a nice enough guy when I met him. You know, for what that's worth. yeah, that was the Free Kevin campaign back, you know, Madman, when you and I were senior year of high school. And that was the whole... this was the guy that they actually told a judge seriously that he could call NORAD on the phone and whistle into it and start a nuclear war.
Yo, in front of Congress, wasn't
yeah,
it? They could launch fucking missiles
by whistling into a phone.
Whistle, yeah.
And it, because people didn't know shit for shit at the time, they believed it. So, 59.
That's way too young.
Yeah.
Oh, pancreatic cancer sucks. That's also what took Alex Trebek.
Yeah, it's pretty common, dude. If caught early, it's treatable, but if you don't catch it early, you're fucked.
Well, there was another article that said he'd been dealing with it for a year, and apparently...
That means he caught it late.
Well, they said something about they thought he had beat it, and then it like came back. So.
Yeah, no, it's a really aggressive cancer.
But
if you're going to die of something,
right? I wanted to be having sex with hundreds of hot chicks.
Yeah, but you could be beheaded by the worst beheader in Taliban. You know what I mean? It takes forever.
Well, that's because he's trying to do it with a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, but that's better than being deep fried by the Taliban.
Yes. We could have a lot of debates on that, on which is the worst. But I mean, 60 years old isn't too bad. I mean, he accomplished more than I'll ever achieve in 60 fucking years, I tell you that.
So, anyways, just
he got to live through the best of the world before it went to shit.
So, just thought we would acknowledge that one. So, that's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site. I haven't figured out a replacement for Reddit yet. I haven't put any time into it, truth be told. They've been beating me up at work. So, that's all I got. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, I heard a wonderfully horrible rumor that, depending on which of the two might be true, could be happy. So, everyone knows Disney's been fucking up and ruining our childhoods and everything we're nostalgic about. So, they're in a bit of a financial bind. I mean, nothing that it's not possible for them to recover from. But I heard two wonderful rumors that may be happening. One is they fucked up enough that they may start selling some of their properties, like Star Wars or Marvel, to hopefully people that will love them and cherish them and nurse them back to health and make them good again. And then one slightly horrible rumor that is more likely to happen because it's horrible. Apple is looking to consume Disney.
Apple is going to consume Disney?
They've already put out feelers and have actually done an offer a couple years ago. But Disney's stock price has even tanked more. And I think they're going to wait until after Snow White and the seven average-sized fairy people come out and bomb. And then buy Disney on pennies.
There was a picture floating around that showed they tried to put the chick in a cartoon-accurate Snow White dress. And it's just like, what are you doing?
And the reason they're wanting to do that, Morps, is Apple's gotten as much into the entertainment business as they have into the...
I know they have the Apple TV, and, you know, I mean, of course, I got a bunch of Apple stuff and pads and phones, but I just haven't really been getting into their media hardly at all, so...
Well, think of how much content they would have if they bought up Disney that now owns 20th Century Fox, so all of their just classic stuff...
Yeah.
That's a shit ton of great movies.
Well, and I can absolutely see Apple wanting to do it because they could look back and go, "Well, we made more money on iTunes than we ever made selling hardware, and we made more money selling phones than we ever did selling computers." So I can see them wanting to get into the media side of the house.
Yeah, and if they grab the Disney library and just stick it on Apple TV, they're going to beat out Netflix.
Yeah, just merge Disney Plus into it and call it a day.
Oh, and the other wondrous rumor is Disney's hurting enough on streaming. They're thinking of killing Disney Plus and just going straight with Hulu. Because before Disney Plus came out, Hulu's actually owned majority by Disney. It's Disney, I think, Comcast. Comcast has like a 30% stake, I think.
There was another one floating around that they were shutting. There were a couple of other streaming services they were looking at shutting down and merging. I think it was Paramount. There was something merging with Paramount, and I don't remember what it was now. I just remember that one because I've been subscribed to Paramount for a couple of months now to catch up on Star Trek. Which, Strange New Worlds has been okay. Hit and miss. But
hit and miss. I hate what they're doing to Spock.
Yeah, I'm waiting on the next season of Lower Decks, and then I'll probably cancel it. So, because I just like, man, I don't need to keep it going. But, anyways, are you closing thoughts?
I don't know. Madman said enough for both of us. I think. Madman.
All right. Let me hit some sound effects and get us out of here.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Sounds good. Nose down and call it a night.